It is my pleasure and privilege to introduce our guest speaker. She's a beloved friend of mine, Connie Chandler. She is an amazing person to know and who's been here since 1992. She's been studying science of mind principles for almost 30 years. And because of the life, as I said, that because of the study and the practices that she does, she has an amazing life. She became a practitioner emeritus in 2012, and she created the Sterling Study Group over 14 years ago, and that's still ongoing. In 1999, she was inspired to create the Evensong service, which is still here on the third Sunday, and Connie still supports that service. She also supports this congregation in Ministry of Prayer. She meets with us on Mondays to go through the prayer cards. She also has published a book called Chatting with the Beloved, which is for sale in the back at the author's table. Connie will be there to sign your copy. And so it's such a blessing to have someone like Connie come today and to speak on how life is eternal right now. And so please give her a warm welcome.
Happy Easter, everybody.
Happy Easter.
Thank you. Am I on?
You're muted.
Am I muted? Okay. I'm always on. Yeah, there we go. Okay. Am I good now? I'm good. All right. I had a lot of memories of Easter come up when I signed on to do the talk today. I was grateful that Jen and Amy and the committee invited me to do this because it gave me a little blast from the past for a while. And one of the things I remembered was getting new clothes for Easter. Anybody have that experience as a child? And Joyce this morning reminded me of a little poem that my mother used to say. Spring is sprung, the grass is riz, I wonder where the flowers is. And probably. And I was in New England, so we often had snow on Easter. It was not uncommon, and I had all these cute little new spring clothes from my Mary Janes to my Easter bonnet, and I'd be all excited about wearing my new clothes, and then it would be snowing. And my little frilly socks with the lace weren't going to keep me warm. And I said to my mom, you know, I want to wear my boots and my winter coat. And she said, don't worry, your pride will keep you warm. Didn't really work for me that well. You know, I guess I wasn't too proud. But the good part about it is that I've grown up. I can still wear the Easter bonnet and the cute shoes and the spring colors, but I put the warm shirt underneath and make sure the heat's on in my car so I'm comfortable getting here. So Easter takes on a new experience for us as we grow, as we learn, as we move forward. And for me, I grew up in an environment where Easter was a holy day of obligation, and we just spent 6 weeks of sacrifice in Lent. And I grew up sharing a room with my grandmother, whose idea of bedtime stories were the lives of the saints and the martyrs. So I learned very early on that if you really loved God, something really, really awful was going to happen to you. And took me a little while to get over that prejudice, I guess. I left my religion of my childhood when I was 15 and spent 20 years as an atheist and an agnostic until I found the science of mind philosophy. And all of a sudden, things changed. because suddenly there was an understandable, rational universe. And the theme this month is the power of the mind. And I began basking in the Science of Mind textbook. And the probably the best Easter chapter in the Science of Mind textbook is the one called Finding the Christ. And so I spent some time with that and reminded myself this month, this past month, of some of these things that Ernest Holmes said about things related to Jesus and Easter. And one of the things he said was, it is written that Jesus was crucified and rose again. He exemplified the immortality of the soul through his crucifixion and resurrection. Whether we believe this story or not, even metaphorically, it is well taken by all who will listen and contemplate its meaning. Ernest Holmes writes, our conclusion is not that dead men live again, but that a living man never dies. And so when Ernest Holmes talked about Jesus, he talked about him not as the great exception, the only Son of God, but rather as the great example, how to live the consciousness of the Christ, where Christ is not a person but a principle. A principle, something that we can study and practice and learn and live with and live by. Well, that's inspiring and a little daunting, perhaps, because he did some stuff I've never seen anybody do. And so I thought about that quite a lot. And at one point, I was writing a lot of daily guides for Science of Mind magazine. And I actually published one on can we do what Jesus did? And it was actually probably the favorite one that I ever wrote, because when they did a contest for the favorite, all-time favorite daily guides over 70 years of Science of Mind magazine, that one was included in that, in the contest winning. I was pretty thrilled. I didn't get many awards for my writing, but that was pretty exciting. And what I concluded in that little piece called Finding the Christ was that we aren't here to do what Jesus did. Jesus was here to do what he did. Jesus didn't do what Moses did. Each of us is here to live our calling, to feel that divine life, to allow it to flow through us and express in us and as us, to be the light for other people, to be the light for ourselves. And so trusting that it's not something I have to create, it's something I need to perceive that already exists within me. I'm not making this up. I'm not making it happen. I'm allowing myself to express it. It's already here. So, okay, still a little daunting. How do I do that? This Christ consciousness, this powerful consciousness of love, this ability to express that love, how do I do it? And so then there was another time when a lot of people were saying, wearing wristbands that said WWJD, what would Jesus do? And so I thought, well, that's really a cool idea, but I think I'll look at what did Jesus do? And so I kind of was in a bad place at that moment. I was having one of those momentary dark night of the soul experiences where I wasn't sure, you know, what was going to be next. And so I looked back at what would Jesus do? And so what did he do following the crucifixion or when he had a bad day? What did he do? And the things I decided that he did were disappear, ascend, resurrect, and reappear resplendent. So how do we do that? How do we do that? Well, first of all, we disappear. And what Jesus did was make time to get away. You know, he went to a mountaintop. He went out to the desert for 40 days. He spent 3 days in the dark in the cave. And he took the time to allow himself to rest. And then he ascended. He found a way to find a higher vibration. Sure, he was in a bad place, but sometimes he spent time with his friends. Sometimes he went fishing. Sometimes he got a foot reflexology from Mary Magdalene. You know, there's lots of things we can do that allow us to raise our vibration, to feel a little better. And then he resurrected. What did he resurrect? He resurrected his spiritual practice. He began to pray and meditate and talk to God. And you probably know that Ernest Holmes wrote a book called Can We Talk to God? And his answer was emphatically, yes, we can, and we can expect God to answer. That's a very powerful idea. Very powerful idea. And one time when I was exploring that in my own consciousness, I heard the words, you're not afraid when you talk to us that we won't answer. You're afraid we will. And that will make you feel crazy. And I understand that because I wrote a book called Chatting with the Beloved. And so I talked to God and God answered. And Ernest Holmes said, we are not here to just read about spiritual experiences. We're here to experience them. We're here to do these spiritual practices, to take the time to pray and meditate and talk to God and be in the retreated space and listen. All of that is what we're here to do. And Science of Mind supports us in that. And just happens to be the fact that there's a class on spiritual practices, treatment and meditation, starting a week from Monday. And so if you'd like to refresh that intention or explore that intention more fully, you can see your Reverend Lori or Reverend Faith and remind yourself that spiritual practice is the answer. And the spiritual practice called spiritual mind treatment, the affirmative prayer taught in Science of Mind, is about the most brilliant invention I've ever heard of. Because it's five simple steps. God is, I am. Therefore, life is good. Thanks. Over and out. It's very simple. Five steps. God is, I am. I am that. Which God is. I am that. And then you say, okay, my life works in this way. I'm prosperous. I'm loved. I'm expressive. I'm successful. I am happy. And then you say, thank you, and let go, and let God take care of what's happening next. Well, it's all easy. It's all good. But the thing is that no matter what you're treating for, no matter what, it always starts with God is. And I am that. And that's Christ consciousness. So every treatment you do is an acceptance of that oneness, an acceptance of that divine life, that I am that. And, you know, do that every day for 30 years, you really start to believe it. It's kind of amazing. But even if you do it for 30 days, you begin to believe it. It's really worthwhile. The practice is what makes the difference. And so whatever it is that gets you down, that's difficult or hard, you can do what Jesus did. You can disappear and ascend, raise your vibration, resurrect, and reappear resplendent. And be the light. Be the light that you are. We are here to be the light. Now, my title is Eternal Life, Life is Eternal Now. I haven't said that, but that's because it's coming in the prayer that I'm going to share with you next. So I believe that the practitioners will get up and circle the room and work with this prayer with me. And Jen's absolutely right. Practitioners love to pray. And I love to pray, but Ernest Holmes wrote a prayer that was so powerful that I decided to share his words with you today. Be still and know that I am God. I am the Christ, the Son of the living God within me. I am the principle of peace within me. I am the manifestation of love within me. My mind is poised in peace and beauty. All sense of fear or doubt is gone. I rest in calm trust and rely on the law of spirit to bring good to my experience. I live in an eternal now which is filled with good alone. Goodness and beauty follow me. Peace and joy accompany me. Happiness and wholeness fill my entire being with the realization of love and perfection. I am the Christ, the Son of the living God within me. This inner mind of mine is now divine and complete. It has no worries or fears. It is whole, complete, and satisfied. I look back over previous experience and find that it was good, very good. I look toward the future and find that it is good, very good. I look at the present and find that it is also good and very good. God is in all, over all, and through all. I am the Christ, the Son of the living God within me. I am the spirit of confidence. I am poised in love and reason. I am the perfect law of truth and the complete presence of beauty. I am Christ, the Son of the living God within me. And so it is. Thank you.
Give Connie a little more love. That was awesome.